Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. God bless you. Okay, so how many of you have ever spent time in the desert before? Anybody? Okay. So I'm going to say, I found myself in the wilderness wandering in the desert lots of times. How many of you have literally spent time in the desert? That's what I mean. Okay. How many of you have been to Las Vegas? Do you realize Las Vegas is in the desert? Yeah, hard to believe, isn't it? And what do they always say about Las Vegas? Right? What happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. It's like this entertainment complex in the deserts. And I don't know, is it 3 miles, 5 miles all around? I mean, but you don't have to drive too far, and you are literally in the desert. So we're going to say what happens in the desert stays in the desert. Now, before I read the gospel message, I had let you know the time frame in which we're talking about. Jesus had just been baptized by John the Baptist. As Jesus is coming up out of the water, right, the sky opens, the Holy Spirit in physical form of a dove descends upon Jesus, and the voice is heard from heaven. This is my Son, the Beloved. And right from there, Jesus is taken into the wilderness, into the desert. And by the way, it's not Las Vegas. Taken there by the Spirit, but it could have been, to be tempted. So, how does one prepare for this tempting by the devil? Well, of course, we starve ourselves for 40 days and 40 nights. Doesn't that sound funny to us? That normally we would prepare in such a different way, but no, Jesus fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. Because it is in that time in which you are hungry, you are empty, that the Lord comes and fills you up. And that is what was happening. He was preparing himself by making himself so vulnerable that he couldn't depend upon himself. And the temptations begin. And we hear them, right? There's three of them. It's since you are, or if you are, prove it. Since you are the Son of God, now I want you to prove it. So you're hungry, speak, and turn these stones into loaves of bread. Speak, because we know that when God speaks, something happens. So what the devil, tempter, is saying, provide for yourself. You don't need anyone but yourself. Self-reliant. Use your own power. Get what you need when you need it. Jesus is hungry and tired and weak. Have you ever found yourself in that position? Because I know I have found myself in that position. And it's at those times that I think I can provide for myself. And I realize I can't provide for myself. Those times when maybe I am so very ill, I can't take care of myself. Those times when I rely most on God. Jesus responds, God is the provider, not me. See, Jesus is speaking more than a physical need, but a spiritual need. It is God's word that gives us life. But you notice now that Jesus is quoting from Scripture. So for the second temptation, where the devil takes Jesus to the top of the Temple Mount and tempts him to throw himself off, what does he do? He quotes Scripture. It's like, well, if you're going to quote Scripture, I'm going to quote Scripture. And says, go ahead, throw yourself off the top of the temple. Because Psalm 91 says, God has placed you in the care of angels and they will catch you. Jesus responds and says, my faith, my trust means that I don't have to test Jesus. Do you ever find yourself testing Jesus? I know at times I have. Or maybe bargaining is the better way to put it. If you do this, then I'll do that. I don't know that I'm the only one here that has done that before. Yeah, we have done that, haven't we? If you do this, I'll do that for you. We understand what Jesus is going through. But more importantly, Jesus understands what we go through, what it means to be human and tempted. The third. The tempter takes Jesus to the top of the mountain, and the view is magnificent, and says, if you worship me, then everything that you see can be and will be yours. So what the tempter is saying is, if you listen to my voice, I will provide for you. Let me be your provider. I will be your God, small g. And you can have all of this. Everything at your feet can be yours. And I'm going to tell you something. Boy, do we know this temptation well? That temptation that we place our trust and provision in the wrong things. The things that become our center of trust is anything but God. We trust in our possessions. We trust in our wealth. We trust in our power. We trust in our status. We trust in our position, our titles. If we're CEO, that's where we place our trust. Jesus has had enough and says, nope, that's not going to happen. Get lost. Not so easy for us, is it? It isn't. It isn't at all. For Jesus, this is not the first and only tempting and tests that he will encounter. See, he will continue to be tempted, just as we are. How do we today discern whose voice we are hearing? Is it the tempter or is it God? You know, the kids' sermon, Simon Says. Carl and I were Simon Says. How do we know which one we're supposed to listen to? That's the hard part. That's the really, really difficult part. You know, I can remember when I was working for J.P. Morgan Chase, and there was a merger that was happening with Bank One. And it was in the year 2005. And I knew that I was leaving the bank in February of 2006. We were squirreling money away so that I could pay for my own seminary education. And I was going to work for the church full time. And at that time, everyone had their little kingdoms, right? If you've worked in corporate life, you know what that's like. And then what happens when a merger comes about? Everybody circles the wagon, so to speak, right? You want to hold on to your people. You want to hold on to this kingdom that happens. And then there are new managers that get named. And what do those new managers want to do? They want to pick their own people, right? They want to now expand their kingdom. So I started getting all these phone calls from everyone in 2005. Come and work for me. Come and work for me. Come and work for me. And there was one that I actually had to stop myself and ask God, is this what you want me to do? Stay here? Because I couldn't figure it out. This one phone call that I received said, Marianne, I want to put you in charge of... There was a particular operation in the United States, in Europe, and in Asia. Well, that's global. We didn't have any presence in Africa at that time. And so for us, that was a global thing. And I had to stop and say, God, is this what you're calling me to do? Am I not hearing your voice? Am I supposed to stay here and do ministry work here in the corporate world? And then I realized, no. I was being tempted. No, I was to step out of that and move into a brand new role, which is very scary. But you see, I could easily have rationalized, no, that is where God's calling you. You're supposed to manage all these areas. No, that isn't what God was calling me to do. Do you know how hard that is to figure out which voice? Which is the voice of God? Which is the voice of the tempter? And you know something? We don't always get it right. We don't always get it right at all. Thank goodness for Jesus. Thank goodness that Jesus heard God's voice loud and clear. See, what happens in the desert doesn't always stay in the desert, does it? What happens in Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas. In fact, throughout Scripture, Jesus is faced with these temptations again and again and again, just like we are. Jesus does not use his power to feed himself and the disciples, but Jesus does use his power to feed thousands and thousands and thousands who are gathered in the wilderness to hear him talk. And he does it with just a few loaves of bread and fish. Jesus does not heal himself. Jesus chooses to heal the sick. He heals those who are tormented. His power is not for himself, but for the other. Jesus does not take advantage of his relationship with God. He doesn't do, well, if you do this, I'll do that, favors. No, he easily could have come down off of that cross, but he did not. He could have said, these people are not worth my life, but he did not. Jesus could have turned the whip that was used on him onto others. Jesus could have destroyed all those men who came for him in that Garden of Gethsemane, but he didn't. No. Jesus could have sided with the religious elite to gain position and loyalty, but he did not. He turns down the offer of political leadership over all the kingdoms of the world and instead offers the kingdom of heaven. What happens in the desert does not stay in the desert. And I thank God for that, as I know you thank God for that. Because Jesus resisted in and out of the desert the temptations, you and I have life. We have new life. In fact, as this onesie says, I'm what happened in Vegas. We are what happened in the desert. You see, Christ stayed on that cross. Jesus stayed on that cross and died. Did not stay dead, was lifted, resurrected to new life, and in that resurrection, we are swept up. And we are the ones in that onesie. We are the babes. We are the new life, resurrected life. And so, you know something? You and I, we are what happened in Vegas. We are what happened in the desert. Thanks be to God for that. And let us continue to hear and discern that voice in this new skin and this new life that we have. Amen. Amen.